Okay, our last presenter this afternoon is Dr. Henry Young. Dr. Young is an assistant professor in the School of Pharmacy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. His research interests include patient-provider communication, behaviors and outcomes associated with the use of medications, and minority and underserved population health.
Good afternoon, and I too want to thank you for sticking around at this late hour. Before I get started, I want to mention my fabulous colleagues, Nadra Havikon, Betty Tuning, who's in the audience, Christine Sorkins, and Josh Thorpe. We have no financial relationships to disclose. This project was funded from monies from a clinical and Translational Sciences Award that the University of Wisconsin received. Over 24 million American adults have a diagnosis of asthma, and this is data coming back from 2009, and the increase in prevalence rates are similar in rural and urban areas. One thing that we know from literature is that poor asthma management leads to various negative outcomes, and far too often poor asthma management leaves individuals breathless. We know that optimal medication use, particularly with long-term control of asthma medications, is a really important strategy to help patients manage their asthma. However, up to 80% of these patients misuse prescribed medications. There have been various programs and services that have been implemented to help patients use their medications. However, what our colleague discussed earlier, rural patients often face limited access to services that can improve their medication use and asthma control. So we're trying to figure out what can we do to bridge that access gap. Recently, there have been some evidence to suggest that telemedicine or the use of telecommunications can improve access to healthcare services and management of chronic conditions. So with that, we sought out to conduct a pilot test of a telepharmacy intervention in an underserved and rural asthma patient population. We particularly had two aims, but our priority was, can we actually do this, and is it acceptable in this setting? So, you know, that first one is to assess the feasibility and acceptability of implementing this intervention. And secondarily, we wanted to begin to explore the intervention's impact on various outcomes, such as asthma control or the level of impairment due to asthma, patients' involvement of care. This involvement of care is getting at the heart of self-management. So will it have any kind of impact on the way patients manage their care, and also the use of long-term control of medications? To accomplish this, we conducted a randomized controlled trial in which we randomly assigned participants to a control group to receive usual care, or an intervention group. The intervention consisted of telephone consultations and direct feedback from pharmacists. There was one encounter on the phone over a three-month period. Each participant was assigned to one pharmacist to provide continuity of care. And to standardize the consultations and feedback, we developed a communication guide. The communication guide was patient-centered. We wanted to focus in on the goals and needs and agendas of our participants. The communication guide also allowed pharmacists a systematic way of identifying and resolving medication use problems, and it helped target areas to aid asthma self-management. Again, our outcomes of interest, surrounded by accrual and dropout, that's getting at that feasibility part. We also wanted to look at our participants' attitudes and opinions about the intervention. That's diving into the acceptability piece, and again, we wanted to look at asthma control, patient activation, that's that involvement in care piece, and medication use. Patients that received their asthma medications from the Family Health Center of Marshfield's pharmacy It's were invited to participate in this project. The pharmacy is a 340B mail order pharmacy, and it's interesting. Here's this common theme of access. To provide access to medications to all of these participants in this area, the Family Health Center of Marshfield, which is a federally qualified community health center, started a mail order pharmacy program to send individuals prescription medications. One of the things that is lacking there is that direct patient contact. Once these medications are sent in the mail, they're usually sent with information packages and a 1-800 number to call. So we wanted to see if we can kind of develop a system to foster that patient-provider interaction. In the Family Health Center of Marshfield's catchment area, 86% of the area has been designated medically underserved, and 78% of the counties are populated by less than 1,000 people. We used mixed methods in this project. We wanted to really dive into participants' attitudes and opinions about the intervention. So what we did was we conducted a series of interviews with a randomly selected group, 15 to be exact, participants from the intervention group. We also collected some quantitative data through some telephone surveys, both baseline and at 6 months, where we assessed asthma control, patient activation, and medication use. Also within the intervention group, we assessed asthma control across the intervention, so at call one and at call two and at call three. We sought to do this because we wanted to really get an assessment of the clinical impact that this program was having at the time. For asthma control, we used an asthma control test, which is a validated scale that ranges from 5 to 25. 25 indicates complete control of asthma. The patient activation measure was used to assess patient involvement in care. That scale ranges from 13 to 52. 52 indicates that patient is highly involved in the care. And for medication use, we use the Morisky medication adherence scale. This scale ranges from 1 to 8. However, we dichotomized it to indicate either low or high adherence to those prescription medications. For our analysis, we conducted a thematic analysis to identify participants' perceptions about the intervention. We also conducted a series of between and within group comparisons. For the between group comparisons, we used difference in difference modeling approach. We also use bootstrapping to estimate standard errors and 95% confidence intervals. We also conducted a series of two samples, tests of proportions. These allowed us to make the comparisons between control and intervention groups. However, we also wanted to look at what was going on within each group from baseline to follow-up. So the paired sample t-test and the two sample tests of proportions also allowed us to do that. And we used STATA version 11 to conduct the analyses. So what did we find? We were able to recruit 78% of the participants that we contacted. We had 98 participants. 49 were assigned to intervention and 49 were assigned to control. Predominantly, they were white and female. Something funny that we found was about 30% of asthmatics were smoking, so that took us back a little bit. One of the things that we also found was the impact of asthma, that impairment. The ACT score was 17.4, which is indicates moderately controlled asthma. So we had a fairly okay group of asthmatics, which for our pilot testing phase of this research endeavor, we felt okay with. And we also failed to find any significant differences between the control and intervention groups at baseline. Regarding the feasibility, so were we able to, we talked about were we able to recruit, but were we able to retain? We were able to retain 83 participants for a dropout rate of 15%. 7 control and 8 intervention group participants dropped out of the study. And in particularly for our intervention group, we had 84% of those individuals who were assigned to that intervention group completed all 3 telephone consultations. Regarding the acceptability, so this is the data coming back from our qualitative interviews. Some of the themes that rose to the top, we found that participants thought that the intervention was positive and helpful, that it helped them improve their self-management, and that they found value in it because it afforded them opportunities to ask questions and get the immediate feedback. We tried to dig a little deeper to find out individuals' dislikes or what they desired to change in the intervention. 2 participants mentioned time. However, the time wasn't prohibitive of them completing the study. Also, we found, and I just pulled this out of the focus group transcripts because I thought it was really interesting. One participant said that they dislike hanging up because I was learning something and it was nice to learn something every time. Regarding our between group comparisons, we found that the intervention, and this is looking at baseline to the 6-month follow-up period, we found that the intervention had an impact on patient activation. So it helped patients become more involved in their care. We failed to find any differences in the asthma control. So we found that a little interesting, so we dug a little deeper. And from our within group comparisons, we found that a statistically significant improvement in mean ACT scores for the intervention group from baseline to phone assessment 3. So this was during the active intervention period. And what's really interesting about that mean score of about 19.2 or 19.3 is that looking at the ACT scores, that is the threshold with which individuals can be designated as being well controlled, their asthma is being well controlled. So we found that interesting. Also, with regards to medication use, we saw, and this is again within group comparisons, a lower percentage of the intervention group were classified as having low adherence to long-term control of medications at follow-up in comparison to baseline. So we were able to see a widening of the gap of the low adherence folks for our intervention group. Now, these results should be taken in light of our study limitations. We did have a small sample size, so we feel that we didn't have enough power to detect differences. Also, the measurement of the variables across time and of both groups. Remember, we only assessed asthma control within the intervention group. Hindsight 2020, and it always gets me, I wish we would have assessed more time points for the control group as well. But it was pilot study and lack of a lot of funding to do that dictated such methods. And also a self-report. Our outcomes were self-reported measures. We feel as if for our next steps, we want to explore some objective measures of asthma control. So in summary, we found that this telepharmacy intervention was feasible and acceptable in our population. We found that it increased patient involvement in the care and self-management. So we felt that increase in involvement would perhaps lead to better care from the patient's perspective. We also found, and this is looking at the data that we gathered from the active intervention group, that follow-up and monitoring of patients may be key in resolving and identifying and resolving healthcare issues and improving care. Thank you. What questions do you have for me? Yes. In some instances, yes. Our pharmacist called the patients and asked them called the participants and asked if that was an appropriate time. If it wasn't, they scheduled a time to call back. Yes.
One of the slides you mentioned, at one point in the beginning, there was like
Yes.
Yes. How do you define misusing? Is that improved over time?
Misuse of asthma medications can involve overuse of rescue inhalers, underuse of long-term controller medications. There are various different things. And in fact, I had a nice video from House, the TV show House, to indicate how a person can misuse asthma medications. And I'll briefly give you a synopsis of the video clip. House is interviewing a patient who has asthma, and her asthma is uncontrolled, and she's constantly coming into the ER. So House asks her, well, are you taking your medications? And she says, of course. And he asks, well, do you know how to use it? And she says, well, of course. Do I look like an idiot? And, you know, he gives one of his perplexed looks. And then he asks, well, why don't you show me how you use it? So she takes the inhaler out. She shakes it. And she proceeds to spray one side of her neck and spray the other side of her neck. So I thought that was a funny depiction of how an individual can perhaps misuse an asthma inhaler. But on a serious note, the inhalers used to treat asthma, and they're metered-dose inhalers or discus inhalers. If you look at the patient package inserts to using those medications, each one of those inhalers can the appropriate steps to using those inhalers can range from, I think it's 11 for metered-dose inhalers to 13 to discus inhalers. So there are a lot of different opportunities for a patient to misuse those medications. Other questions? Yes. Tailored off, yeah. So this is getting for our, we're currently thinking about writing for larger funding to you know, take this on a larger scale. One of the things we would like to look at is the use of those intervention time points. So should we, and this is going to be in one portion of an aim, so are we going to contact the patients on a monthly basis or on a bi-monthly basis? To see which one has an effect, and should we do it over time? That's one of the approaches. Another interesting thing, and we were just talking about interprofessional dialogue and collegiality. To do this project, our pharmacists electronically documented their interactions. We built a database for them so they can input what happened. So we have actual documentation of the problems that they found and the various different interventions that they used to resolve those problems. And interestingly enough, our pharmacist contacted the participants' primary healthcare providers, and we have documented email interactions back and forth between the pharmacist and the physicians to help resolve those issues. So that's another piece. You know, we talk about the patient-centered medical home model. That's another avenue that we really wanted to explore in our future analysis of this intervention. Yes.
Well, they had the pharmacist on the phone. Did they bring up other medications that they were
yes.
on?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. There was a litany of different things. And, in fact, we're right now analyzing that database, the clinician database, because the clinician documented all of the different issues that the patient brought up. And in fact, we had one instance of where, and in doing this, we had weekly telephone calls with our pharmacists to identify problems. And we had a problem in which, you know, a pharmacist was having problems contacting this one particular participant. And I think about 2 or 3 weeks later, they got in contact with this particular person. And it's fascinating. Within the communication guide, we begin the consultation off with what questions or concerns you have, you know, trying to identify the patient's agenda. And that particular patient mentioned, well, I'm dealing with my heart failure now. So my asthma is, you know, secondary. I'm trying to get these other issues under control. So, yes, we did identify various different other issues that also needed to be addressed as well. Yes?
How long
The phone conversations varied in length. So at that first one, the initial one, there was a lot of assessment and things built up. So I believe it ranged from 25 to 45 minutes with the average of 33. But for those subsequent interactions, that time dropped off. So I believe the average, and don't quote me, I'm thinking it was around that. Second one was about 15, and the third one was about 12. So, yeah. Yes?
Are you tracking acute care use for
ER? Actually, the wonderful thing about this is the family center, that qualified family health center of Marshfield, it has electronic health records. So we do have the ability to go in and track health utilization, healthcare utilization, ERs, office visits, et cetera, et cetera. But we had limited funding for this, so next time, exactly. Mm-hmm. Next time. We do have access to it thanks to health IT. Yes? Yes.
And
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is going to be that third major aim in the analysis. So we have overall, we have the overall impact of this intervention on outcomes. That next, we have the what I like to term patient-centered medical home model. So the interactions between healthcare providers, but that third piece is cost and cost effectiveness, and you know, are we averting those ridiculously high cost outcomes by this intervention. So yes, that's the third piece. It's there. Other questions?
Just a comment. You might get the commercial insurance companies to give you a grant, because the rest of the population has the same issue.
Yes. Yes. And in fact, we believe that this is a model that can be implemented in other medical conditions. So this is those are kind of like the next steps in the evolution of this project. Yes. Thank you.